Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. My name is Jen, and our topic for today is a very fun update on the Sangha-wide participation game. There's so much happening with the game that we realized we wanted to take a Good News Update to share with you what's happening and some of the stories, really inspiring stories actually, that people are sending in around the participation game. So we thought we'd start by updating you on the current numbers. I have a couple of my fellow monks here with me, Sequoia and Dave, who are joining me to assist in updating us. Thank you for being here.
Thanks, Jen.
And Sequoia has our current numbers for us. So what have we got, Sequoia?
All right. This is exciting. To date, as of today, we have earned 6,056 points, and there has been $26,484 pledged.
Yahoo! You know, it is Yahoo because one of the things, and Dave's going to tell us in a minute what the next promotion is for the next couple weeks, and what's fun about it is so often all of this happens at the last minute. All of the raising money and the signing up for the walk and all of that happens right before the walk. So it's really quite an accomplishment that people are jumping in this early in the game. So we thank everyone for that. And speaking of that, so the last promotion that we were doing was people writing in about their fundraisers, planning fundraisers that they're going to do. And everyone who wrote in with a fundraiser in the last 2 weeks was entered in a drawing to be featured in a Voices cartoon. But we didn't draw a winner from the hat yet because we're 4 fundraisers away from our goal of having 25 people write in those 2 weeks to tell us what their fundraiser is. So we're going to give ourselves till midnight. So if you're out there and you haven't written in yet what your fundraiser is, help us meet our goal. We're going for 25 by midnight tonight, and everyone who does by midnight tonight is still entered in that drawing to be featured in a Voices cartoon. And so Dave's going to tell us about what our next promotion is for the next couple weeks.
Our next promotion is a bridge walk registration drive. So over the next couple weeks, we're going to try to see if we can get 100 people to register for the bridge walk. And, kind of goes along with what was just being said. I think in our culture in general, we tend to like to keep our options open and wait till the very last second to do anything. And we thought it might be fun, also just kind of good practice to see if we can encourage people to commit now to the big event coming up in October, the Bridge Walk. And so we'll have, we're going to go for 100 people. And then of those 100 people, we're going to draw a couple names out of a hat, and the winners are going to get a Chitenge product of their choice from Africa. Chitenge is the native or natural, not natural actually, the national fabric that people use there. It's very colorful, very beautiful. We have skirts, pants, bags. Actually, I'm not all sure what all the options are.
And just hot off the press, literally, or hot off the airplane, however you would say that. I just brought them back when I landed a few days ago, and so they're going to be featured on Sangha Market soon. So everyone, as Dave said, everyone who signs up for the walk, who registers for the walk in the next 2 weeks, is going to be entered in a drawing to receive a Chitenge product of their choice. So next, we thought it's really, really quite fun and moving to receive the emails that people are sending in a few different categories. One of the ways you can earn participation points is to talk about how your being kind to yourself on a given day. And we just get the most fabulous emails in response to that, as well as people writing in about what their fundraiser is, what they're going to do to fundraise. And we thought it would be fun to share some of those as well because it generates a lot of ideas and might spark other people. And then just a few fun sort of stories around people participating and things that have come up for them in that. But before we go on to that, so we're going to share reading those emails. Sequoia has, drum roll please, the big winners from the first 2 weeks promotion, which was we were pledging. And so everyone who made a pledge in those first 2 weeks was entered in a drawing for a guidance point with Sherry, which is really quite a special thing. So she's going to read the names, just first name and last initial, and to know that there aren't duplicates. So, for example, if it were Bobby C., there's only one Bobby C. So you can know if that's your name and your last initial, you're the winner, and we'll be in email contact with you about setting all that up.
You're right, Jen. I need a drum roll. This is too exciting. I love doing this. All right. The winners are Janet A., Scott F., and Jean-Pierre D.
All right, cool. Thank you. So next week, hopefully, we'll be announcing the winner who's going to be featured in the Voices cartoon, so that should be really fun. So I'm going to start us off. I've got emails that people sent in around the fundraisers they're going to do. So the first one says, Dear Guestmaster, my wife and I are going to plan a triathlon in my summer vacation town in Canada. I'm going to invite anyone to participate who wants to. Gachel. Next is Sequoia.
This is an email someone sent in about being kind to themselves. Today I made a new audio recording that was really kind and supportive. Just making it was such a joy. But I'm also going to listen to it late today to remind myself of the compassion that is available.
That's really nice. Here's another kindness email. We celebrated my son's 21st birthday this weekend. A part of me wanted to do all the cooking for the gathering for 20 on her own, including baking the cake. She likes to cook and values homemade meals. There's something in there, too, about saving money. It didn't look like she would have the couple of days it might take to do this without a fair amount of stress. Also, doing it this way would likely limit the time she had to enjoy her son, family, and friends during the festivities. I asked her if she would feel satisfied handling the snack food rather than the entire menu. She was fine with that. I had the meal catered, ordered the cake, and the homemaker part of me did the menu planning, roasted fresh veggies, and made a beautiful fruit salad. During the week before the gathering, I did a little bit each night in preparation, shopping, putting paper supplies in a bag by the door, etc., and I also called on other family members to help out. What a kindness to myself. What a measure of the change awareness practice can bring. The gathering went smoothly. I enjoyed it immensely and had plenty of time to spend with my loved ones.
And she wrote in about it and earned participation points. How fun is that? So here's another fundraiser. I've emailed my friends and family about the absolutely delicious, made-to-order, creamy custard and fruit pies that I'm making to raise money for the Africa Vulnerable Children Project. For a donation, I make the pies and either deliver them or have them picked up at my house. My sister-in-law ordered two for a family vacation where everyone raved about the pies and donated a little something, quote, for the kids.
That's great. Another kindness email. Hi. I'm excited that this is a part of the participation game because it is actually a daily goal of mine to be kind to myself. The main way I do this is to be aware of my internal voices and be attentive without judging at times when those voices harshly criticize me. Another thing I've been doing for a month now, which I haven't thought of as being kind to myself, but I realize is a sort of kind attention, is to try to do several things a day I know are very healthy for my mental, spiritual, and physical states of being. The list of these things has actually grown a little now and includes 20 items. There is a category I have that I call Sherry Recommends, which includes the items yoga, meditation, self-kindness, cardiovascular exercise, and read and write something related to my meditation practice. And this is in parentheses, which I included record and listen into since I learned about that. This has been a great thing because there have been times in my life when I would go long periods of time without doing even one of these things, and now I've been averaging 10 per day. Thanks for your support and encouragement. With loving kindness.
Wow, that's really inspiring. Here's another one. Conditioning tried to tell me to stay in bed later this morning after I woke up. I knew the kindest thing for me would be to hop out of bed and go for a long walk before the day heated up. And that's what I did. And I got to listen to my recordings throughout the whole walk, revisiting parts of the What You Practice is What You Have retreat. It made for great energy for the day.
Wow. I truly wish we had more time because there are so many good ones that we all have sitting in front of us. But I'm just going to run through a few more of the fundraiser ones. Someone is riding in a century bike ride. Beginning in August and is going to ask friends and family to sponsor them. Another person is planning to bake cookies or, she says, possibly something healthier for sale for the children in Zambia. She was inspired by the Voices cartoons, and she says she's going to take them to work and put them in a little basket that says donate to Zambia and that people can take the goodies and then leave money as a donation. then another woman has an incredibly ambitious plan. Part of it is she's cycling from Half Dome, Yosemite, to the Bridgewalk, and she's going to land the day of the Bridgewalk. So that's very, very fun, and she has a bunch of other things that are part of her plan, but it's a very ambitious plan. And then another woman, this is really fun, created a whole spreadsheet for herself. So if you're the type of person who gravitates to spreadsheets, you might try this. Along the left-hand column, she has all the different ways of participating and the point values. And then across the top, she has the dates, the weeks leading up to the Bridgewalk, and she's already planned it out. So on this week, she's going to do this. She's going to make a donation. She's going to sponsor a child in this week. She's got it all color-coded, and then she has her own point total of how many points she's participating, how many she's giving to the Sangha. So it's all very quite fun. And I guess we're going to have to plan another one of these updates maybe in another few weeks so that we can keep bringing you in on the action. So, sign up for the walk in the next couple weeks. And an encouragement to people who are not right here in the Bay Area. Again, I think we talked about this at the beginning of the campaign, to not assume that you can't come to the walk. You know, you never know. If your heart feels called and you love to be there, then maybe just take a minute to sit with it and see what might be possible, what miracle might happen to be able to bring you to the walk, and to go ahead and sign up. And you can sign up for the walk even if you're not going to be able to be with us in person, and you'll get your event T-shirt that's going to be fabulous, as it is every year. We'll send it to you in the mail. So thanks, everyone. And Michael, we'll pass it over to you.
Great. Thank you, Jen. Dave and Sequoia, that was great. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael. Was that fun or what?
That was very fun. That was very fun.
Goodness, inspiring. I tell you, I love practice and love Sangha.
Yes, yes, and I love this game because it seems to bring out the best in all of us.
Uh-huh. A game where everyone wins. That's a dream come true.
Yes, it is. Mm-hmm. Yes, it is. And I'm very excited to be participating in it.
Mm-hmm. I wrote down on my little pad of paper here to not forget to sign up for the Bridgewalk.
Yeah. That is great. I really like that idea of putting my commitment out there and early.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This is what I'm doing. This is important to me.
Yep.
Nothing is going to come up that is better.
Right. This is what I'm doing.
Yes. Yes. I have some announcements here.
Hey.
You will be at Namaste in Felton, California, July 29th and 30th for What Do Power, Success, and Fun Have in Common?
Yes.
And this is a fundraiser for the Africa Vulnerable Children Project.
Yes. All those things that, not all of them, but many of those things that Jen brought back from the sewing cooperative will be accompanying me there. So if people want to get in on the ground floor of the sartorial. Excellent.
Great. And then August 1st through September 9th, you'll be leading an email class with June Shiver entitled Zen and the Enneagram.
Mm.
And the sign-up deadline is Saturday, July 30th.
Very
and
fun.
On that, yes.
Yeah,
yes.
It is. I love the Enneagram. And just the getting ready to, you know, starting to think about the class more and thinking about Enneatypes other than my own, say, for instance, I'm looking forward to it.
Yes, I am too. I just got an Enneagram book and I was reading it on the airplane yesterday. It was great.
Uh-huh.
And then on Saturday, August 6th, you'll be leading a workshop entitled Connecting to Your Inner Wisdom, and that's in Seattle.
Yes.
August 12th through 14th, you'll be leading a weekend workshop at Esalen in Big Sur entitled What Do These Questions Have in Common? And then August 17th through 24th, that's a Wednesday to Wednesday, What You Practice is What You Have. A special retreat with you, Sherry, for participants in any of the It's Time to Feel Good email classes.
Yes, our fourth one of the summer.
Yes, and they're coming in rapid succession.
Yes, and they are astounding, if I do say so myself.
Yes, and since I've been there, I can second that.
Good.
And that's at the Zen Monastery Peace Center in Murphy's.
Ah.
Following that, the extraordinary There Is Nothing Wrong With You retreat. That's August 27th through September 3rd, Saturday through Saturday, and that's also at the Zen Monastery Peace Center in Murphy's.
Yes.
And it's time to make plans to join you, Sherry, and the monks at the 10th Annual Bridge Walk on Saturday, October 1st.
It's coming right up, isn't it?
Time seems
you know,
to do that.
Yeah, well, we started talking about that bridge walk. It seemed like, oh, my goodness, that's, you know, we'll, that's forever out in the future. And now
yes.
You go through those events, and it's like, and now we're at the bridge walk.
Right.
Wow. Glad we're signing up now.
Yes, great. And a reminder to our callers to focus on one topic, please, in about 5 minutes. Okay, let's get started. First caller, you are now live on the line, and could you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this
Hi.
Is Rochelle from North Carolina.
This is who?
Rochelle from North Carolina.
Rochelle, howdy.
Hi, well, I tell you, I'm a first-time caller.
All right.
Motivated for getting pledge points.
and
yeah,
welcome, and
yeah.
Thank you for doing that.
I am interested in sharing with you a practice experience that I had not too long ago and to express my gratitude to you.
Mm.
I am not a very good sleeper, and I had a night where I had bad, I guess, nightmares and night terrors where it seemed like everything bad in my life could happen, did happen in that dream.
Uh-huh.
My workmates were doing mean things to me. My family was being mean to me. Things that are totally not in reality. But while I'm sleeping came up. And so I woke up in the middle of the night in a cold sweat, tangled up in a sheet, feeling awful. And feeling angry and scared and afraid all at the same time and really almost hyperventilating.
Mm.
And I used to have these a lot over, you know, a year ago, and seems like sleep can be a vulnerable place to me.
Oh,
and
yes.
It can really work me over.
Yeah.
But I'm up in the middle of the night, and I'm you know, having almost a panic attack or a heart beating. And then I think, wait a minute, there was something in one of Sherry's books about this. And I had, it's on Kindle or what have you, but I brought up a book that I had, What the Practice, What You Practice is What You Have. And you have an appendix in there about what to practice when you are in the middle of the night when self-hate is trying to kill you. And I was like, aha.
Aha.
Aha. I was very reassured because I'm like, okay, this does not just happen to me. I am not alone.
Yes, yes. It's in this book. It must be happening to a lot of folks.
Exactly, exactly.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, this is not just me. I'm not going crazy. I'm
yeah.
you know, this happens to everybody. This is
yeah.
maybe part of the experience of life.
Mm-hmm.
The
mm-hmm.
second thing is that, okay, I read it. It gave me, you know, direction and what to practice. And so in the middle of the night, I'm already awake. I accepted that. And I decided I put it on my recorder.
Good for you.
And so now I have it. And so when I wake up and I've had that nightmare, that terror dream or what have you, that has no basis in reality, and it's got me all worked up emotionally just to have control, I have on my recorder, you know, what to do,
you
know, and it is such a comfort, you know, to have that there. And so I wanted to express my gratitude. Thank you for writing the book. Thank you for giving us practice tools to do. And thank you for kind of uncovering these techniques that ego and self-hate will do. It has really been a benefit. Okay.
Good. I'm so glad. And, of course, then you thank you for having done all of the things that you did in order to be able to take care of those parts of you who are being so tortured and tormented.
Well, and yeah, and I do think that the dreams got bad is a kind of pushback from practice. I mean, like going to a retreat, I was meditating, I was doing all the things, and I think I didn't leave room for it to get me during my waking hours, and so it kind of attacked me at night.
Oh, I think you're absolutely right.
Yeah, and I was like, wait a minute, you know.
Yeah, yeah. And now that you know that and you know what you're up against and now you've got your tools right, your toolkit right there, you're all set. It can do its worst, and you know how to take care of yourself.
Practice
a great
work.
Thing.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thanks for letting us know. Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Rochelle. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. And we have another caller, Sherry.
Good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, hey, Sherry. Hey, Michael. This is Justin calling.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. I'm calling, I guess I'm trying to make a habit of calling every month. So
good.
This is my monthly call-in.
Yes, an excellent habit to cultivate.
I just wanted to say the work that Jen's doing is really inspiring, and I'm really enjoying the participation game and just being able to participate. It really, the effort I put in, I feel like I'm really contributing, and it really feels good.
Yes. Yeah.
But that was the first thing. What I wanted to talk about tonight is spaciousness and kind of life simplifying or things falling away. Because, like, in the past, I've heard you say that in this practice, you don't actually leave anything behind. Things just fall away.
Uh-huh.
And I'm starting to see that whether it's work or personal or whatnot. I just wanted to talk maybe about the process and how you see it evolving, and because I'm starting to feel the benefits of, as things fall away, it opens me up to being able to take new things on or take new things in, but then also it's kind of balancing that off with trying to maintain this feeling of openness and spaciousness. Hopefully that makes sense. I'm not sure if that's an experience that I'm having, and hopefully that makes sense.
Well, the experience I'm having is a little bit of difficulty hearing you. So
okay, let me talk up a bit. Yeah.
There you go. And so let me try to reflect and then clarify it for me, and we'll go on from there. So an experience of having things fall away.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
so,
and feeling yourself then being more open to new things.
Yeah, new things, yeah. And I mean, is it something that, I mean, I'm seeing I see it occurring quite naturally.
Yeah.
Or not naturally, but more it's not something that's forced. I'm not trying to take things out of my life.
Yes.
But they're just, like you say, they're falling away. And so I'm actually experiencing that. And, for me, I found it, it's been a good experience.
Yes. That, in fact, that that cliche about, and of course it got there because it's so true for so many people, that what we resist persists. And so with practice, with watching how things work, seeing things without resistance, in fact, we could say accepting things as they are, they change. Because it's resisting how we are, what we do, the resistance that comes from karmic conditioning, the voices of self-hate, that puts us in a position to not be able to move. So the energy is in, I'm trying to be different. The resistance comes from conditioning, and I'm just locked into position right there. But if I just watch everything that happens and I see it for what it is and accept it as it is, then there's nothing holding it in place. And since change is what's always happening, there's nothing stopping that change. Change happens easily, naturally, painlessly, and the result, as you say, is just seeing things fall away. So I don't have to go on a program to get rid of anything. There's no self-improvement required. It just, I see things as they are, and they just fall away.
And that's exactly the experience. I know my time's nearly up, but, you know, the experience that I had was, I've had, and it's the weirdest thing, I have like a stack of, well, I shouldn't say a stack, it's like boxes of old visa statements, like my credit card bills, and for some reason, something has been telling me that I've got to hang on them, you know, like they're from like 1999 or whatever, and just going through the, just seeing the voices around why I should keep them,
uh-huh.
Just the logic just made no sense, and the urge or that need to have this box of bank statements in my basement,
uh-huh.
It just fell away. And I'm in the process of shredding them all now. But it's just such a liberating experience to see how it just falls away.
Yes, and what you said there is so important that we, instead of just it shouldn't be this way, what is the matter with me, this is crazy, which is the kind of resistance that'll hold something in place. It's stopping to look at, now, really, what is this, what need is this meeting? What is this doing for me? Because it's in my life, so there's got to be something for me in this. And so what is it? And we get a little clarity on it, just enough to, that openness to seeing something about it or turning our attention to something without the voices of self-hate coming in, and you know, it's okay, I'm good, I'm clear on that, it's okay, I can let go.
Well, thank you very much, Sherry, and I just wanted to relay that. Thank you very much, and thanks, Michael.
Talk to you soon.
You're welcome.
Okay.
Bye. Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Justin. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we're going to hear from Sangha Market and Stop, Drop, and Breathe, and then we'll be back.
All right.
What's this from Living Compassion?
If you've got a craving for fundraising and can't get enough of the good stuff, cruise and jet on the internet to www.sanghamarket.com.
That's sanghamarket.com for all of you squares out there.
Sangha Market, where you can sell, auction, buy, all to benefit Living Compassion. Check it out today.
If you suddenly find yourself believing the voices in your head, don't panic. Just remember these three easy steps. Stop, drop, and breathe. That sequence again is stop, drop, and breathe. This public service announcement is brought to you by Voice Busters Incorporated, purveyors of the finest practice tools and reminders since 2008. Visit us on the World Wide Web at thevoicescartoons.org.
Stop, drop, and breathe. Stop, drop, and breathe.
Welcome back to Open Air. Sherry, we have another caller.
Okay.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry and Michael. This is Melissa in Richmond, Virginia. How are you?
Hi.
Doing really well. And yourself?
Good, good. I have to. It's been a while. It's been, I guess, since I was on the New Year's retreat. But I have to confess, as often happens to me with practice, it is not my commitment to myself that I have you know, I can readily keep, but it's my commitment to somebody else that has got me calling in this evening. So I have a very good friend who's on the month-long deepening practice retreat, and she's been there since July 1st, and I've been thinking about her a ton, and I know she's probably listening now, and so I thought this would be a nice way to sort of have Sangha with her in particular. So I told her I'd try to call, and I haven't yet, and I realized I'm not going to be able to the next 2 weekends, so this was it.
So friend,
yes,
inspires you to
yes.
Participate in Sangha in practice.
Yes, and to me, this sort of ties in with reflective listening, which I guess I just am starting my fourth quarter of doing it in a row, and it's the to me, it's just the same process, which is, you know, short of an emergency, there's no way I would not follow through with having my call every week, essentially. Yeah. And, you know, I find it's because of my commitment to another person. And when it's just my commitment to myself, sometimes I meet it, sometimes I don't, but you know, it doesn't ever seem to fail when it's a commitment to another person.
Yes, which is why we want to make sure we always have plenty of commitments to other people.
Yes, yes, exactly.
Yeah, just line them up.
Yeah.
And then we don't let ourselves down.
Yeah, yeah. So that was what got me on the phone, and I figured if I was going to do it, I was going to not call in, you know, at quarter to nine my time to make sure I got through. So I'm glad I did. But I guess, you know, getting through it, the thing that I've been wanting to call about and haven't done so yet, and since the retreat is, you know, it was the New Year's retreat was. Just, I mean, there aren't the adjectives really to describe it. It's really an awesome experience. And I quickly got dropped back into reality, you know, pretty much at the airport, which I guess is typical. had a heck of a time, to put it mildly, getting back to the East Coast. It was truly horrible. And ending with me just in Atlanta in the middle of the night, in just sobbing, and I'm not a crier particularly, but it was a crashing halt to what was a great, just an amazing retreat experience. But, you know, so I got home at 3 a.m. or whatever that night, and, you know, this is, as I had shared with you when I was there, I was in the very early stages at that time of a pregnancy, and very excited about it, and you know, had this horrendous trip home, and then woke up the next day and had a miscarriage.
Oh.
And, you know, I have to say, I mean, you know, I was devastated. I mean, there's no question about it. But, you know, I didn't, and I remember asking you something about suffering, particularly at the retreat. And I have to say, I did not suffer over it. And I could never before in my life make that statement about something so significant happening that there would be suffering. I mean, there's just, the thing would happen and there would be suffering. But, you know, I spent 10 days being sad, letting myself be sad, grieving. And the 10th day, I just had I was meeting a friend for lunch and a pedicure or whatever, and I thought, I can't go. I can't do it. I cannot do it. But I did it because, again, you know, it was a commitment to somebody else, and I was through it. I was on the other side of it. And to me, that is the most profound thing, and never in my – I mean, I attribute it 100% – to practice, because I've never had that experience with a significant event like that before. And the most amazing thing to me now, which is, you know, 6-7 months later, is, and I truly mean this, that I'm in a stage right now where if I get pregnant again, great. If I don't get pregnant again, great. And it's okay either way.
Yeah, it's all about life.
And I don't think I was there before I got pregnant and had the miscarriage, but I'm there now. And I don't think I would have been there otherwise. And, you know, a night like tonight where I'm on, you know, I'm just having an evening with the kids, like, you know, I need my husband to keep me away from them. It's like, I think two kids is good. I think, you know, I think we're good tomorrow after
maybe
a good night's sleep.
Being more cared for than I realized.
Yeah, you know, but, you know, I obviously can joke about it now, but I attribute it to practice, and I just am so grateful, because I don't see how I could be where I am with it all in any other way if I didn't have practice in my life. So I'm grateful.
I know what you mean. Me too. Because life is what it is.
Yeah.
And our only hope is to get to a place where we have that level of faith and trust that it's the best for us.
Yeah, it's a great thing, and I'm really grateful. And so I'm grateful for keeping commitments to friends. I mean, both with calling in tonight and also, like I said, that it was meeting my friend, you know, shortly after this all happened in January that you know, it was just such a moment in time that it's like, okay, I'm on the other side of this.
Yeah.
And not that I didn't have my sad moments after that, but I was kind of through it. And it's that, you know, particularly I think of Dave at different times talking about disidentifying, and it's like, you know, it's kind of like picking up the pen or the recorder or whatever. It's like, okay, I'm out, you know.
Yeah.
I'm back to center. So,
yeah,
it's a good thing.
Yes, it is.
It's a great thing.
Very good thing. Well, it's wonderful to hear from you.
Thank you.
Glad you're doing well.
It's good to be in touch. And I was inspired by the good news updates. I registered for the Bridge Walk. If I'm going to be there in person or not, it's a little early to tell, but I want to get my participation points, so I'm in there.
Very good. Thank you so much.
Thank you. It's great to talk to you. Thanks, Michael.
Good night.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Melissa. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we have another caller.
Okay.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry and Michael.
Hi.
This is Lorraine in Washington, D.C.
Lorraine.
In Washington, D.C., yep.
Well, good evening. How are you?
Good. I called 3 times so far this year, and I'm due for another one, but I don't really have anything to say.
Well, let's just talk about what's going on.
Okay. I'm getting better practiced at noticing the voices and not getting sucked into the story so much.
Excellent, excellent.
And I'm getting better at doing things that I commit to do.
Very good.
Instead of, because I'm doing the 30-day thing where you're making the change for good, where you watch, why didn't you do what you said you would? And I'm noticing the voices of self-hate, I guess, are pretty strong, that it doesn't matter how much I do, it's not enough.
So these are some good things, right?
Okay.
So you're able to watch the voices without getting pulled into their conversation or their story. Yeah.
Not as much, yeah.
Not as much
as I used to.
You're able to, you're making commitments and not getting distracted and pulled off by what they want to talk you into doing instead.
Yep.
Yeah?
A little more than I ever did before.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. And what was the third one?
I noticed the voice, self-hate or EKG just always telling me it's still not enough.
That's right. And so you, what you're realizing is that they are setting impossible, ever-changing standards designed for you never to meet them.
So is there a way to be happy in spite of that?
Yes, and I would say you're well on your way, wouldn't you?
Most days.
Yeah. If you don't have to listen to and believe what they tell you, if you don't have to be involved with them, if you don't have to meet their standards, well, then that just leaves you in a place to live your life and enjoy it. Wouldn't you say?
Most days, yeah.
Most
of the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because there's nothing else that's going to be judging you or critiquing you or telling you what you're doing wrong or that you should have done more or, I mean, it's just not going to be there. So then you get to have your life.
Yeah.
My God. Yeah? And here's the thing. Most days is a very good average.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you think?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so you've probably gone from, I would guess, pretty much no days.
Right.
To a few days, to some days, to most days.
And
that's
then,
extraordinary.
And that's what makes the days, it seems louder, the days that I don't have that.
Yes.
Centeredness, but
yes.
It seems louder than it did before that I'm really off track and this is really bad.
Yes, and which is good because the louder they get, the more obvious they are.
Okay.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah, they're desperate. So when people get desperate, they start screaming. So they're desperate. Voices are desperate. Good. Doesn't have anything to do with you. Yeah?
Good.
Yeah. Yeah. So they're desperate. They're hysterical. Okay. You don't have to give them any of your attention at all. Isn't that relaxing?
Yeah.
You don't sound convinced. Even though you know full well that what I'm saying is true because you're the one who reported it to me.
Right.
Uh-huh. Now they want to start making you doubt yourself. Is that really... Well, maybe, I don't know.
Yeah, they're just really loud today, and I've just been like, no, I'm calling anyways, and I don't need to even know what I'm going to say. I'm just calling, and you guys need to be quiet.
Yeah, I'm calling. And in fact, you voices can scream right through the whole thing. We'll still have our conversation. You will still have called. Yes?
So I'm still on the right track, right?
You are so on the right track.
Okay.
Yeah, don't, you know, here's, I don't want to discourage you in any way at all, but don't get too ambitious about all days.
Okay, yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Most days is a great place to live.
Yeah, and when I'm in the good days, I know that, and I'm like, this is cool, and I'll be okay on the other days. And then
that's
I
right.
get to, and it's always a Tuesday because I'm like, I'm going to call tonight. Well, but I figured if I call tonight, then I could have like 6 Tuesdays where I wasn't thinking I need to call.
Yeah, but you can call anytime, you know.
I know, but it just makes the voices so loud when I tell them I'm going
to. Good. That's the reason to call. Make them loud. Do just, you know, at least one day a week. Set up everything to just make them shriek in displeasure. Because that's how you know, if there's somebody in your life who's a powerful figure, who screams at you once every 6 months, you could develop a good terror of that, right? When is it going to happen? Oh my God! What if I this? What if I that? Oh my God! It could just, okay, because it's happening with enough regularity. You're pretty sure it's going to happen again. You hate it. It's awful. It's horrible. Okay, and so you try to avoid it, but you can't. Yeah, but if it's every day, after a while, really, it's kind of hard to take it seriously. Because the voices scream and yell, and nothing happens as a result of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. They scream and yell, and the next day, you're happy. They scream and yell, and that afternoon, you're fine. Pretty soon, it becomes really obvious that them screaming and yelling doesn't have anything to do with your well-being. At that point, they're pretty much out of business. So, you know, wave that red flag in front of the bull. Say, you know, I'm going to call every Tuesday. Nanner, nanner.
Alrighty.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, don't let him intimidate you. Most days you're doing great. The good is on your side. You know what I mean?
Yep, indeed.
Yeah. So stay with that.
Alrighty.
Good. Thanks for calling.
Thank you so much.
Talk to you soon.
I will talk to you soon. Yeah.
All right. Good night.
Thanks, Michael. Good night.
You're welcome. Thanks for joining us, Lorraine. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we're going to hear from our sponsors, and then we'll be right back.
All right.
Porchdog Software is proud to support Open Air with Sherry Huber. For more years than we care to mention, Porchdog has been writing Windows and Mac software for customers big and small. We're pretty good at what we do, and we always try to remember that what we're doing is never more important than how we're doing it. Check us out at www.porchdogsoft.com. We look forward to hearing from you soon.
By Trish Bruxford Colligan gives voice to what Simply Celebrate is all about. Opening to rivers of joy, listening to our hearts, trusting ourselves and our lives. Simply Celebrate is a book and business that grew out of gratitude for the work of Sherry Huber and this amazing Sangha. We use the practice as a foundation for helping people wake up to all the joy, spontaneity, color, and connection that is available in every moment. Please visit simplycelebrate.net. Once you bathe in an ocean of roses, what if you swam in a river of joy?
Welcome back to Open Air. And we have another caller, Sherry.
Right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry and Michael. It's Jan in California.
Hey, Jan.
Hi.
Well,
how's it going?
It's going fine. I'm not able to go to group tonight, so I thought I just had to participate.
For you.
Yeah, it's just one of those times. It just, well, I've just enjoyed all the calls so much, and particularly the last one. It's not so much the yelling of conditioning going on, but just the constant yammering.
Yeah, the relentless nature of it.
And so what's going on for me right now is I have relatives visiting, and it's just such great content for the conditioning to work with.
Yes.
Yeah. Anyway, so what I've noticed, and I just thought it would just be helpful to talk about a little bit, is noticing what comes up and how ridiculous it is, and yet seeing how I get caught in it often.
Yes.
during the visit.
Yes.
And I can see that part of it is then, oh, my gosh, you got caught, and you really should know better than this. You know, just all the stuff that goes on.
Yes. And the thing that I was looking at when you were saying that is that if we were in our right mind, none of it would be an issue.
If we were...
You know, but it catches us, and suddenly we're
yes.
in a world where all of that is real and makes sense and is important, and which, of course, perfectly sets us up for the, I can't believe you fell for that, or you should know better than that.
Right, and I think the thing that's most helpful when I, you know, perhaps in the next moment, the next hour, the next, 10 minutes, whatever, when I come, you know, it's, oh, my goodness, this is, you know, how, is just, I don't know if you said it or quoted it from someone, but that we create our own universe. We are our own, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And when I think of that, it's just, it just is so helpful to see through it.
Yes, yes. And that feeling of this universe, is being created for me, and I just walked into it.
Gosh, that's a really helpful image to have. Yeah, because I hadn't seen it that way.
that there's kind of a trap being laid, right? So I think that being around relatives or in that kind of situation is just the deadliest, best place to practice, because
there
are so many associations.
There really are, and what I've been noticing in particular is that the things I used to believe, the projections that I would believe about so-and-so, you know, whoever it's, whatever's going on, whoever's here, I always believed it before.
Yeah.
Now I know it's all coming from this mind, and so I'm getting stopped. And it's almost disorienting.
Right.
It's like, oh, well, if that's not true, you know.
Yeah.
So it's like that universe is constantly changing. It's like getting busted open over and over again.
Yes.
So I just had to share that.
Yeah. Yeah. And how, I'm what arose when the image that came to me with that was somebody who has some sort of deep prejudice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, grows up in an environment where that group of people, whether it's political or religious or racial or whatever it is, that group of people, and then fill it in. And because the conditioning is so deep and so old, of course, some people never do question it, but if a person gets to the point of being open enough to have a different experience, or to have an experience,
right,
to have a direct experience instead of the story, yeah, the programming that's there,
yeah.
And then it just puts a huge crack in the middle of the whole thing.
As you were saying that, what was coming up for me is that there also seems to be a part, well, no surprise, I suppose, that's maybe there's a part that's nervous, another part that's afraid because of what the possibility that opens up.
Yes.
And I guess that's what the physical sensations are more of, that's where that's coming from.
Yes.
Oh, if that's not true, you've always believed that. If that's not true.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah, what else?
Yeah.
Yeah, and that anxiety and then moving to excitement is we realize that we have a chance to actually be in life as life is rather than living in conditioning as conditioning is and being made to believe that that's life.
Right, and I've certainly, you know, because of, thank goodness for facts, I've had that experience. It's just, I guess the content is, right now, it's pretty charged.
Yes.
So
the older and deeper it is.
Yeah, and that's what I'm seeing. And in a way, as we're talking about, I'm seeing how miraculous it is that I'm even seeing it now.
Mm.
Because these are really old, old beliefs.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess it also brings up for me compassion for the part that is afraid of, you know, it's just something else, of
yeah.
something else.
Yeah.
And there's nothing to be afraid of, obviously. It's a pretty wonderful possibility. And but just to be with that part, I can see what I'm going to be recording when I hang up.
Yeah, yeah. You know, one of the things that I was wondering about when you were talking is, so there we are with these people, all this history and all the charge that goes with that, and the automatic assumptions and projections and reactions and that. And to just think for a moment of, what if I just met this person for the first time? You know, what if we were suddenly on some committee together to do some good work in our city, or, you know, just sat down next to this person in a restaurant and struck up a, you know, what would that be? What would I see if I didn't have all these preconceived prejudices?
Right. Yeah, and I think that's, I do want to spend some time recording, because it hasn't felt like there's been the time to say, okay, how can we experiment? How can we have some fun with this?
Yeah.
Experiment with it, just like you're suggesting.
Yeah.
And that's it's just such a great opportunity. I don't want to miss it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, lots of recording this evening.
That's right. And I think my time is up, but thank you so much.
Oh, you're very welcome. Thanks for calling.
All right, Dr.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Jen. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we have another caller.
Good.
Hello?
Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Well, I didn't introduce myself last week, so perhaps I can skip that. It's Eric from Alberta calling. I talked with you last week, Sherry. Hello, Michael. Hello, listeners. And I was just calling to report in very quickly.
Very good. What have you been up to?
Nothing. What'd you hear? I didn't do it. No. I'm just sitting here in the middle of a thunder and lightning storm, so if the dog barks, I will hit mute and fly out of the room, and that'll be why there will be a sudden silence. I was saying to you that I couldn't hear the voices, and you gave another exercise to do, and that worked marvelously. It opened up a great big cupboard door, so I slammed it shut and ran away scared for a little while.
Uh-huh.
So I don't know what you've done to me, but thank you for your help. It was brilliant, and I'll keep playing with it.
Well, good. Very good.
Good technique and good advice. My sister got to listen to the show. She really enjoyed the advice to me, and also there was a poor caller who was troubled with the dark room, and you had some excellent steps and advice in there that we both took away lessons from. So thank you for all of that.
Most welcome. You'll keep us posted?
I will indeed. I'd like to part with a question, or you can direct me to, which was, you've mentioned in some of your recordings RNL, record and listen.
Uh-huh.
And it seems that somewhere in my brief absence from your show, I've missed the setup for this, and I didn't see it pointed out on a website, or can you point us somewhere where this technique is covered?
Yes.
Again, for us beginners?
Yes, it's actually in our latest book, which is What You Practice is What You Have.
Oh, okay.
And so we go through that, and I will also take this opportunity to let you know that we're going to do an email class on that subject in November.
Oh, so excellent. Okay.
Whatever goes on between now and then, you might want to participate in that. I think the book does a fair job of, describing some of the ways to do it, the situations, and, who some of the players might be and some of the pitfalls and that sort of thing. And then you can let me know if it's clear or if there are other questions, and we can go through it.
Absolutely. Well, it's as good as your other book is. I am sure it will be fantastic. So thank you. I will go back to doing the retreat in your 30-day retreat book and play with these voices now that I can figure out how to get them to surface. So thank you very much.
You're welcome.
What's so funny?
Nothing. It's just it's fun to hear. It's fun to hear you, your program. It's exciting. Yeah,
I
good.
Started out 4 years back, I think, with meditation, trying to quieten everything down, and then I've started with yoga, which I don't quite understand yet, and now you've just given me something else to work with. So
that's right.
I will report
here,
in a while.
Can I just respond to one thing there?
Always, please.
Yeah, there's nothing to understand about yoga. It's like meditation. There's nothing to understand. It's just, we just practice it. We just do it. It's our best opportunity to have direct experience and kind of bypass some of that incessant head stuff, as well as to activate the head stuff in a way that enables us to see it from a little bit of a distance. So don't try to understand yoga.
Thank you. If I may, what I meant by that is it seems to fall to a stretching and physical exercise of must do better, must stretch harder, must lift muscle more, and that in what I'm reading, and I don't get the references to it being more, well, mental or what was the word, effortless. I have to do this 2 more seconds longer. I got to get the perfect pose.
That's good. So you're hearing the voices in yoga.
Oh, you're good.
Isn't
that
helpful? That's
yes, it is.
There they are. They're right there making themselves available as you do your poses.
Hmm. I guess that's another question, because it's how do you do that without pushing? That's another question. Thank you for your time.
You're welcome, Harry. Good night.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Eric. You're listening to Open Air. And we have another caller, Sherry.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Mike from Burbank.
Hello, Mike.
Hi. I'm feeling like sort of the AM radio stereotype, the longtime listener, first-time caller.
All right. Well, very good. Mm-hmm. Thank you for calling in.
Well, thank you for the program. Actually, normally I've been listening by way of my wife, who's up at the monastery at the moment.
Aha. Uh-huh.
And so I don't want to violate the privileged environment. I would like to pass on a gassho, sweetie.
She'll know who she is. So that's
good. I think so.
Yes, that's very good. Very stealth.
Yes. And I've been actually working through making a change for good again and finding that what's come up for me is something I vaguely recall from one of the classes, that the person who makes the commitment is not the same as the person who breaks the commitment.
Yes. Have you noticed that? And is very often not the person who tries to keep the commitment.
And I think that's where the sort of the awareness then gets usurped by the judge, who then starts blaming the commitment keeper as opposed to the commitment breaker.
Yes.
And I'm still having a little trouble really accessing the compassionate part of the awareness, I think because my judge is so hyperactive.
Uh-huh.
And so often I'll be aware that I have failed in some way to maintain the commitment, or that part of me has chosen not to maintain part of the commitment for the day. And then, I'll get beaten up for that. Yet, simultaneously, I've institute some other changes in my life that I'm not having any trouble maintaining that commitment to change, but they're not written down on a card, with a commitment decree and posted.
So So is it your sense that it's writing it down on a card that really sets people off?
I don't know that it's the writing it on the card, if it's the approach to it. I mean, I guess part of it, as other people have been talking about the voice, that things are slowly becoming more clear, or I don't know if they're clear. It could be that they're even more muddied. But there's sort of this notion that I guess a lot of the commitments that I've tried to make to myself are in the sort of self-improvement vein. Here is something wrong that you need to fix.
Yes. Yes.
And those are incredibly difficult for me to keep, whereas the ones that are, this is something that's a bonus, are much easier to keep. This is something good that you want to do because it's good for you for whatever reason.
Yeah. So here would be, to me, a fun experiment. Because what I'm suspecting is that the self-improvement commitments are nothing more than a setup for a beating. So somebody gets talked into saying, okay, I'll commit to that. And then the campaign starts to get him not to. And then here comes the beating. Are you with me on that one?
I am. It almost feels like that the planning process is what's getting hijacked by conditioning.
Yes. And so to just do some experiments with those two, that what it's like when it's a, I really want to do this, I'm going to commit to this because I really want to do this, and the commitment is going to help me do this thing I want to do. And as you've indicated, those work really well. You do really well with keeping those commitments. And then go along with some of the ones that are, you should. You should do this, and therefore you should commit to doing this because your commitment will make you do what you should do. And then watch how how that doesn't work.
Yeah, what's so odd is that it seems like such a clear distinction in the moment.
Yes.
And yet it's something that seems to have functionally eluded me for so long.
Yes. Well,
that I've been so caught in the should world.
Yes.
As opposed to the want world.
Yeah, remember, conditioning is really good at what it does. And we're just in the process of coming to the party. So we actually can't feel bad about being fooled, because fooling us is its specialty. Hello.
Yeah, no, I'm here. I'm just sort of trying to focus on the. I vaguely recall that in something that there is no time to feel bad about having been fooled for so long.
Uh huh. Yeah, I just can't tell when there's no sound whether people have dropped off into the void or they're looking. So, yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, and so I guess that. In part because I've been living so long in this should world, and that there's something wrong world, or the you should have been smarter and caught this earlier approach.
Yeah, right. It just circles around and comes in through another door, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So you should do these things because that'll make you a good person. And we go for that because we've been taught that there's something wrong with us and we're not a good person. So, okay, well, yeah, I can get that. And then we get it that that's the world of conditioning, and it's a setup, and then it follows up with, well, you should have seen through that. And then, of course, you got a beating for that, and then it'll tell you, well, you should know that beatings just come from self-hate, and there's no sense of, so whichever way you turn, it's coming at you.
And I think that I've been confusing the mentor sometimes with that should voice.
Yes. That is a hugely helpful awareness to have, that the mentor is never going to tell you there's something that you should do. Never. The mentor is not concerned about self-improvement for you, because the mentor can see who you authentically are.
And so what would be your recommendation or encouragement for for discerning the mentor from sort of the judge or conditioning posing as the mentor?
Well, the recording and listening practice, I think, is the most helpful tool that we've got for seeing that, making that distinction. Because when we hear the mentor speak, what we hear is kindness and compassion and support and that sort of thing. And the judge can try to fake it a little, but really can't pull it off. It's going to be judgmental. So just getting finely tuned about the subtleties of the sound of the two voices, the choice of words, how they put things together, it'll get clearer and clearer. But getting it outside your head is, I think, the most important thing that we have working for us. Because when it, again, conditioned mind, well, that's where it lives. And so when it pulls us in to its conversation inside the head, our chances of winning that one get really, really small. But if you can get it out where you can hear it, get that distance on it and hear it, you really up your chances of seeing who's who.
Thank you so much for the advice and for the practice and for everything that you've been doing to help relieve suffering everywhere. I really appreciate it.
Well, thank you. You are most welcome. And let us know how it goes, okay?
I will have to be a second-time caller sometime.
All right, good. Good, I'll look forward to it. Thank you.
Gotcha.
Thanks for joining us, Mike. You've been listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber.
What a collection of fabulous human beings.
Yes, yes. I'm very privileged.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Very
love
grateful.
It. Thank you, Michael.
Oh, thank you, Sherry.
Talk to you soon.
Talk to you next week.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Okay. Good night.